community radio as it should be. Northside, Northside, the great, great shopping centre.
Are you interested in returning to education in a supportive learning environment? Then come along to the Dunheath Community School, Streamville Road, this Wednesday at 8 o'clock for our information evening. A new course will commence next September and is open to men and women of all ages. It will take place from Monday to Thursday, 9:30 to 12:30, and will include reading, writing, communication skills, maths, introduction to computers, personal development and painting. The course is particularly suitable for people who left school early. That's an information evening at the Dunheath Community School, Streamville Road, at 8 p.m. this Wednesday. Come along if you would like to find out more and talk to some of the current students.
Tous les matins de 8 à 9, du lundi au vendredi, notre programme d'infos en français en direct de Paris avec Radio France Internationale. Radio France Internationale, tous les matins de 8 à 9, du lundi au vendredi. Radio France Internationale, weekday mornings from 8 a.m.
From Beaumont to Arcane, community radio for Northeast Dublin.
For Northeast Dublin.
Near FM 101.6.
Very welcome to Enviro, your environmental programme broadcasting 101.6 FM Northeast Access Radio, coming to you every week at this time, bringing news about the environment, about local issues and about global issues. We have a very interesting programme for you on this occasion. John Houghton, your presenter. In studio we have Tom Brennan and Brian Green, who are two community activists, and Brian is also a member of the Socialist, an activist in the Socialist Party. Now, we'll be talking to them in the course of the programme. They'll be coming in and out of the discussion. They're our panel, if you like. You're both very welcome to Enviro on your FM.
Good evening, John.
Not for the first time. You've been on before, both of you. So, we're going to take some music then first, and we're going to then be talking to Bernard Durkin of Fine Gael Party, who have released a very, very important document to do with energy and renewable energy, with emphasis on renewable energy. So sit back and relax and listen to the sounds of Enviro. Okay, we're going to leave that piece of music there, Bob Marley there, and a song called Buffalo Soldier, and a very fine song indeed. And we're not going to be talking about soldiers really on this particular occasion. On the phone, I hope to have Bernard Durkin of Fine Gael. Can you hear me, Bernard?
Yes, indeed, loud and clear.
Oh, that's very loud indeed. And Bernard, you're very welcome to Enviro Near FM.
And, Thank you very much.
Yeah, I have your document then, which is on the energy, on energy policy. A very fine document, I have to say. And in studio then we have two guests, two community activists, Tom Brennan and Brian Green, and they'll probably come in and out of the discussion as well. So, Bernard, one of the things that you mentioned to me when we were talking about this was that your program is to do with promotion of mainly of renewable energies, and also that you're Fine Gael opposed to nuclear energy. So we could start off with that.
Yes, indeed. I think that our situation is somewhat different to the rest of Europe. Yeah. And it is a challenge, in fact, to this country to look at the situation that's now evolving and emerging, whereby other European countries have a tradition of nuclear energy. They are all going to look back at what the options are available to them. We, in turn, have less options, and we have to look at the alternatives. And the alternatives have to be renewable, they have to be sustainable, Yeah. They have to be include security of supply, which is a very, very crucial issue. Yeah. And as well as that, we have opted for clean energy insofar as we can achieve that. And that's the basic pillars of our policy. We don't have the answers to everything. There is no answer. No single alternative is going to resolve all of our problems. Because we're coming from a situation whereby most of our energy is dependent on imported fuel in the form of fossil fuels, oil, or gas, or whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
We have to look at that and find out how best we can develop the alternatives, and that's what we propose. So we propose to spend a lot of money on that. We propose to spend about €500 million over a four-year period, which is a lot of money, but we think will be money well spent and could obviate the need for fines in terms of Kyoto or carbon trading or whatever, or both.
Now, why do you think that the present government are asleep on the job, if you like, and haven't really woken up to the situation in terms of the promotion of renewables? For example, we have people involved in the wind farm electricity going off to places like Texas to build wind farms, and you've got the ESB controlling the national grid, and these people not being able to get into the grid. You've got the controller of, if you like, of the energy thing coming out and saying that it has to compete, whereas in actual fact it doesn't have to compete on an equal basis with fossil fuels. So there's a lot of blockages there. So how do you propose to deal with these blockages, like the fact that the ESB control the national grid? They have to be got out of that so that it's controlled independently, isn't that right?
The government are moving towards the separation of the national grid from the ESB. But we propose to go a step further and to be absolutely clear about it. That's part of our policy, that we intend to separate the national grid from the ESB or the major energy providers completely and absolutely, with separate bodies governing in each case.
Yeah.
That will be in compliance with the whole new European regime, which is going to come into place, and the open market and the free market, etc.
Right. Now, on the nuclear thing, then, we have Brian Green here, who is particularly interested in this whole problem of Sellafield. And last night we had the RTE film on, which showed what might happen if there were explosions in Sellafield. And then we also had this morning on the Pat Kenny Show, we had Dr. Anne McGarry, who is the chief executive of the Radiological Protection Agency of Ireland, saying that this was an exaggeration. So what, we might let Brian come in, maybe might want to ask a question in relation to this, but what is the risk in terms of
Sellafield? The risk comes down to one thing.
Mm.
I think in the case of Chernobyl, the problem that we had in relation to Chernobyl was simply this, that the emissions were up in the atmosphere for almost 2 weeks, or maybe more than 2 weeks, before anybody knew about them.
Yeah.
So the question of secrecy came into it.
Yeah.
And there was very little that could be done at that particular stage in any event.
Yeah.
But as well as that, it must have been obvious before the accident took place that there was some doubt about the operation of that particular generating station and that particular plant. And that as a result of that, it would have been helpful if the international community had been made aware of the volatility of the situation, and that perhaps there might have been some problem. Now, I know there have been accidents in Sellafield as well, and the critical issue was simply this. We believe that, on balance, it would be unwise to proceed towards the independence on nuclear energy now. And even as we are, we have Sellafield next door to us, as it were, quite close to us.
Yeah.
That could have serious implications for us. And we believe that, again, erring on the side of safety, I think that we were wise to stay away from that and to concentrate on developing the alternatives which will not have that particular potential for an accident.
Yeah, so Brian, you want to come in at this stage?
Yeah, Bernard mentions that we could have an accident. There has been accidents. There was an accident which was first reported 12 months ago. It actually happened about 16 months ago when 160 kilograms of plutonium spewed onto the floor in Thorpe, and it took 4 months for them to release that information. And the RPII seem to think that, you know, they will get answers quickly. 4 months with, you know, thousands of litres of spewed plutonium in a holding room somewhere in Sellafield is not good enough. There has been an accident this week where a flask fell off a forklift a plutonium flask. It wasn't, it didn't open or pierce or explode or anything, but it, you know, these things do happen from time to time, and they're simply not good enough.
That is quite true. In actual fact, we have to err on the side of safety at all times, and you're quite right. In actual fact, 4 months is way, way too long. Just the same as it was in Chernobyl, 2 weeks was too long, way, way too long. And we have to try to move away from the dependency on that kind of energy. And we have the opportunity to do that because we don't have a history of dependence on nuclear energy. So I believe that our future lies best now by spending some well-targeted money on the alternative areas. And given that other European countries have done that, and I want to say, for example, that I fully realise that security of supply being of critical importance. In other words, if our factories close down and if our lights go out and we have no supply, then we have a problem. We could supply 100% of our energy from wind energy. That can be done. But the problem is we don't have wind all the time. So we have to have a backup system. And hence we must develop the alternative. And we've concentrated on the renewables in that area. I believe it's the right decision. And I believe that the money spent in that area now will be money well spent. Both from a safety point of view and from the point of view of providing the country with an alternative and reliable and secure source of energy in the future.
Tom Brennan here. First of all, I want to congratulate you, congratulate the party on the document. It's quite a good document. In talking about renewable energy, I mean, we did have a situation where we had gas fields, and it was indicated that this was going to last us for many years to come, and that's been most disappointing. And the fact of renewable energy, I think it's important that in doing that we make sure that people who avail of that get it at the cheapest rate, because we have the situation now where DSB are increasing, the gas company are increasing. So while looking at the alternatives, we have to look at competition, and we have to ensure that the consumer is pretty well looked after as well. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Indeed. One of the problems that we have faced in the last couple of years is that electricity prices here went up in line with international energy prices. If we had a greater dependence or less dependence, for example, on imported fuels, we would not necessarily have to go there. And you're quite right. We have to be competitive in the way we provide our energy to our customers, whether it be the industrial customers or whether it be the domestic customers. Over the last number of years, the last 2-3 years in particular, there seems to have been a policy whereby energy prices go up, which in turn impacts on industry and impacts on the domestic consumer in a negative way. And we have to develop and ensure that the alternative industry evolves in a way which is competitive, which is cost effective, and which is reliable. Those are the three elements that we have tried to bring into it. And without the research and development provisions that we've made in our policy, we wouldn't be able to do that. And incidentally as well, we have also brought on board a number of government departments, the Department of Finance in relation to excise duty, who obviously are going to have a governing role in the whole area. We brought the Department of Agriculture in relation to the development of alternative fuels. We've brought the Department of Transport in relation to how to monitor the existing fuel usage. We've brought the Department of the Environment in relation to domestic home heating and buildings generally, and also in relation to compliance with Kyoto.
Right. But just say on nuclear energy, it appears to me that the debate going on presently, that the present government favour nuclear energy.
I'm not certain that they've made up their minds. I'm not certain they've made up their minds to that just yet. But I think there's a tendency to take what is relatively the cheapest option. It may well be the most cost-effective option for countries that have already had a history of nuclear energy. Remember that France is a heavy dependence on for electricity generation and nuclear energy.
Yes.
So have a lot of other European countries. And some of the European countries have developed the alternatives and are using research and development. And incidentally also, the European Commission has introduced a green paper on energy at the present time, which in fact gives quite an amount of emphasis to the whole area of research and development. Without research and development, we're not going to go forward to the extent that we need to go forward in the shortest possible space.
Tom mentioned the consumer. I'd like to maybe switch that to say the citizen of Ireland enjoys the natural resources of Ireland, and you know, we talked about the certainty of supply. What about the safety of supply, and how has the Rossport 5 issue affected the Fianna Gael document that we see here before us today? How have you learned from that issue, Bernard?
Well, we've done in relation to that particular issue is just that the Corrib gas field is a natural resource which hopefully will become available to us, and we should use that. And we strongly are supportive of the notion to use our natural resources to the best of our ability. We would naturally much more prefer to see the resource being made available to the domestic and the industrial consumer in our own country and in the environs of wherever the supply comes ashore as a first option. And I believe, and I've said this before, both in the House and elsewhere, that as a first option, greater care should have been taken to ensure that the people, the community at large in the area likely to be served by the supply, that their concerns should be taken on board. And obviously, they would be the first people en route and should have access to supply.
Is it not the case that that supply has already been sold, the drilling rights and the profit that can be made from it, to Royal Dutch Shell and Statoil?
I think that goes back to the original contract that were and the drilling and the exploration contract that were entered into. They were introduced some years ago. We have gone forward from that. We recognise that there may be other discoveries, and that at this time, and I've raised this in the House as well, I've asked the Minister whether he would consider reviewing the situation to ensure that the maximum benefit came to the nation, the community, the industrial and the domestic customer as a first option. I think that it would be bad policy for anybody to suggest that in the future, you know, we should go into an international grid rather than at least fueling the local national grid for a start.
So, Bernard, then if you get into government, you won't be giving away our natural resources like Fianna Fáil and the PDs.
I think you can rest assured that we will be reviewing the criteria that's applied to date. We recognise that whatever contracts have been entered into already, that to extricate from those would be a serious issue and create serious problems and would involve compensation. So we recognise that. But we also recognise that there are going to be further options, and there will be further discoveries. I think that it is generally accepted that there will be further gas or other mineral discoveries, and I think we should review those in light of the circumstances prevailing at the time, but also in light of the experiences that we've had to date.
So, Brian, do you want to come in here again at all?
Just something else that worries me, and I'll let the panel muse on this one, is that the privatisation of Sellafield. British Nuclear Fuels Limited have sold off Westinghouse to Toshiba. They have put for sale British Nuclear Group, who run Sellafield. Before the end of this year, Sellafield will not be run by BNFL. Now, it's as dangerous under BNFL ownership as it would be under private ownership, except to say that last week over Easter, workers at Sellafield, contract workers under a new company, Capita, yellow packed workers, and I oppose a yellow pack safety system, didn't get paid over Easter because of a situation in the payroll. I worry about BNFL privatised in the next 6 months.
We would worry also about utility services being taken over by private enterprise without adequate provision being made for the kind of things that you just talked about. I think the safety factor, the pay and conditions of the people involved are critical in relation to safety, because obviously if you don't have a satisfied workforce, you cannot rely on the optimum achievement in terms of health and safety requirements. But as well as that, we have had in this country other experiences whereby utility services were privatised. Now, I realise that in the free market that we're all supposed to move towards, that we have to ensure that when we have to comply with the free market, we have to comply with European legislation in that area. Notwithstanding all that, I believe that it is imperative and it is possible, even where preferential prices are concerned, to ensure that the highest standards prevail. If they do not prevail, well then the operators have a serious question to answer, and I think in circumstances where the highest standards are not applied, that the operators have not only questions to answer, but the question has to be raised whether or not it should be allowed.
Yeah, could I ask you that did the Fine Gael party or members of the Fine Gael party make a recent visit to Sellafield?
Yes, indeed, it is.
Did. And yes. What was the result?
And, well, when Fergus O'Dowd, as spokesman for the environment, has had an ongoing dialogue with the situation in Sellafield, and I think very successfully and correctly so. And as is befitting in such a case, I think he's right to make regular visits to see what's happening there and to liaise with the people there in order to ascertain what exactly is happening. And this leads on to something else about forewarning. As to, for example, if we are not, given that Sellafield is so close to us, if we are not aware of what the procedures are, and if we have concerns about the procedures there,
right,
it is entirely appropriate for us to raise those concerns with the authorities in the UK at the highest level to ensure that we do not have it drifting into a situation whereby the lowest standards prevail with consequent implications in terms of health and safety for us and also for the people in the environment of Sellafield.
All right.
Just a small point of political difference with Bernard. Brian Green with the Socialist Party, and I obviously don't categorically think that there's only one system, the free market, that can regulate our energy and our lives and our economy. There is other systems that will, you know, be much more capable of meeting the needs of all the people and not just the people at the top of the system.
I think in the energy situation it's all going to come down to security of supply. Security of supply based on the highest health and safety standards. I think if we apply those standards and we insist on rigid interpretation of the rules, I think that we will go in the right direction, because we are in a very volatile situation. For example, if there was a major international crisis tomorrow, we could in 2 or 3 or 4 weeks' time find ourselves in a situation where we have to ration fuel or whatever the case may be.
But the casino market system of recent times hasn't done a good job at looking after, you know, future resources of the environment and, you know, of energy supply.
I think it hasn't up to now, but I think there's going to be greater awareness. Remember that the Kyoto principles have a bearing on what happens from here on in terms of emissions. Health and safety is a growing issue internationally. And the European Commission, and incidentally Forfors as well, both have come out with papers in recent times where they have commented on this particular area. In both the European Commission document and the Forfors document, reference has been made to nuclear energy. We, in our Fine Gael policy, departed from that, and we decided to put the emphasis on what are safer, renewable, and cleaner fuels. But it needs serious research, investment, and development. It also needs joined up thinking in terms of cooperation between the government departments that I already mentioned. And if that follows, I think that the combination of that will ensure that we achieve the kind of concepts that you're talking about.
Okay, yeah,
just sorry, Bernard, on sort of overcoming this difficulty. I mean, if one travels to other countries to see where they've managed to change their fuels and biofuels and whatnot, and it just appears that we don't seem to be or appear to be learning from other countries. And one would assume, like the delegation that you had to Sellafield, there'd be many delegations by the present government to these countries to look at their systems. Yet you don't hear very much about it. It's an impossibility. We can't do it. It's going to take quite a bit of time. And you've been talking there about setting up various other bodies to look at this. So it just appears that it's going to go on and on and on and on. If you come to power.
Not necessarily. In actual fact, a major pillar of our policy is that we have a 4-year policy, renewed annually. and updated annually. Right. So the 4 can then extend to 8 up to 16, and that's an integral part of our plan. The big issue, I think, is this, that the present government, and various other governments throughout Europe, a number of other governments throughout Europe, didn't start on time. They should have started 5 or 6 years ago. And if they had done so, I think the whole market in relation to alternative energy would have progressed to a far greater extent. Okay. Remember as well that we have a number of countries that are better positioned in terms of hydro energy than we are. We're not in a position anymore where we can't flood valleys anymore, we can't ship the people out of valleys anymore, and we can't set up hydroelectric stations the same as could have happened in the 1920s or whatever the case may be. Now, what we have to do in those circumstances, we have to look at what else we can do, what other energy sources we can draw on to provide energy. Because remember this, we're going to have to do so to an increasing scale and to an increasing extent as the country develops and the economy develops. As our economy develops, we must always remember to have about 20-25% of our reserve.
Right.
And apart from all that, we must as well recognize that the population is going up, the demands are going to increase dramatically. So what was sufficient last year may be only half what we require in 3 or 4 years' time. Hence our reasoning behind the annual review, the spending of the money now on initially on research and development, because we feel that this is because both FORFOS and the European Commission, and incidentally, we had our policy basics in position before those reports came out, but we recognise that from our own research as well, and we believe that that's crucial to what we have to do in the future.
Okay, Bernard, we're going to leave it there, but what I want to do in about maybe 4 or 5 weeks' time is have another discussion on the mechanisms that you're going to bring in to make this work.
Yes.
And because, like, when you get into power, and it's necessary for you to get into power,
to have
because
power.
The other people,
get into power.
Because these people have made mistakes, but you must move from this document to the feasibility of the structure that kicks into place as soon as you're elected next year into government. As soon as you're in government, the whole mechanism has to kick in, and this department can't mess it up, and the SP can't mess it up, and that kind of thing. So we're going to leave it there.
And that's the important thing, that this is not left on the shelf.
Yes.
It will not be left on the shelf.
Okay, thanks very much.
The party leader has given directions to that effect, and he has incorporated the involvement of all of the various ministries that I've referred to already, including the one that I shadow myself.
That's good.
And we believe that will be sufficient to bring about a major change in thinking in the area.
Yeah, thanks very much, Bernard. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Bye now.
Thank you.
That's Bernard Duncan there, who is spokesperson Energy Fingate, who produced an excellent document, I have to say. And then Brian has come in on this and that kind of thing. I think you have to go at this stage.
I have to dash, so I just want to kind of mention the website before I go.
Oh yes, mention your Sellafield website that you have yourself. Yeah.
It was set up last Thursday, and it's shutsellafield.com.
Yeah.
And it was in use before by the Children's Chernobyl group for the postcard campaign, and it's a blog, and it's got news and happenings that are, you know, there's about 7 or 8 things that happened in the last week.
Yeah.
We're coming up to the 20th anniversary of Chernobyl on Wednesday.
Yeah.
We have this programme on RTE last night and tonight at 9:30. And, you know, last week there was a proposal for a nuclear power station in Derry, so there's a lot of things happening.
Yeah.
If you focus in, it's shutsellafield.com.
www.shutsellafield.com. And you'll come back in about 4 or 5 weeks, because we want to, you know, pin down Bernard Durkin on how this thing would work, because it hasn't worked up to date.
Okay.
So we're going to go into a break now and listen to some of our sponsors. We'll be back in a few moments with part 2 of Enviro. You're listening to Enviro, your environmental program broadcasting 101.6 FM North East Access Radio. John Houghton, your presenter, Tom Brennan and Brian Green as guests in the studio.
867-1016. Text 087-6944-500. Email access@nearfm.ie. Community radio as it should be. Near FM 101.6.
Local news, local views, local points.